At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to a special series here on the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast called She Is Uncompromising. Women are constantly told to sacrifice ambition in order to have the rich family life that we all deserve. That's a lie. When we quietly accept this lie, we kill an important part of ourselves and our destiny. We compromise who we are until we end up unhappy and failing to fulfill God's plan for our life. Total life success means the baby and the business, the thriving marriage and the growing company, purpose and profit, destiny and dedication to the path that is predestined for you. It's whatever makes you happy, whole, and fulfilled. My latest book, She Is Uncompromising, reveals the hard-won lessons and spiritual truths that can help all women take control of their lives. It's filled with poignant scriptures, intimate stories, practical exercises, and it's a must-have blueprint for building an unbreakable foundation of faith, family, and abundance. You can grab your copy today at tatumtamia.com/book or click the link in the show notes. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be sitting down with people who exemplify this same message by being uncompromising in their own life. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast and another installment of our She Is Uncompromising series, where I sit down and talk to women that I've been able to glean from, and I just respect their being uncompromising in their own journey. So today we are talking to Coach Leah Huggins. Leah is a client of Anchored Media, and her podcast is all about marriage, motherhood, and PTSD. And I wanted to talk to you, Leah, because I really admire your commitment to being uncompromising about still seeing God through a diagnosis, still seeing God's best when something as heavy as PTSD is a part of your life. And I wanted to talk to you here because even if somebody is not experiencing PTSD specifically, we all go through things, and a lot of times these stamps or these diagnoses or things of that nature can get really heavy and hard to navigate through. And so I wanted to talk to you here to learn a bit more about your journey, and so people could be able to learn from you and be inspired by you. So let's start. Are you and your husband both in the military?
Yes. First of all, thank you for having me on. I'm so excited. Yes. We were both active duty. He has retired. I separated after two terms that I did. So 8 years. I did 8 years in the military. We're both Navy.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I like it better on this side as a dependent. I can still get the benefits, but now I have to go in and do all the work.
Awesome. So who has the PTSD diagnosis? I don't think I know this.
Mm-hmm. We actually both do. Okay. Both of us do. Now, his came from, of course, PTSD is not just affiliated with being in the war, in the military. But he was actually diagnosed first with the PTSD. He did go to war twice, to Iraq. When he came back, we didn't notice anything right away, but after a while, it started to come up. And once he finally got the diagnosis, we knew what we were dealing with. For myself, I did not realize I had PTSD, but over time, there's a whole story behind that. But, when it was finally brought to my attention that that could be the case, I went to the VA and got checked out. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was. We both.
So what are some signs of PTSD? And can you explain for those who don't know what it is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Of course, PTSD is going to be post-traumatic stress disorder. So that is brought on. It's a result of trauma, of having experienced some type of trauma. And trauma can be one event that happened, or it can be a series of events or a series of exposure to something that is harmful to you. And so that's pretty much what trauma is. As far as the PTSD goes, it is a result of having gone through that experience. Mm-hmm. As I said, with my husband, we didn't know right away that that is what we were dealing with. With him, like I said, he went to war twice. After he came back the first time, one thing that he did different, which I noticed right away, was that he was pacing. He paced a lot. He didn't get a lot of sleep. He would be up in the middle of the night, pacing and walking around, you know. And I just thought, okay, he's had a hard time. I know he's been to war. So, okay, I get it. As time went on, just different things started coming up. Of course, we dealt with the coping mechanisms with him, his drinking. It got more heavy. We argued a ton. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of issues that we had going on. As far as me, I did not realize I had PTSD until we had been going through a lot in our marriage period. I was in the car one day and I was listening to this Christian talk radio station. And this lady called in and she was, you know, basically trying to get help for her situation and wondering what she needs to do about her husband. And the host, you know, she started describing her situation. I'm like, man, that sounds a lot like what I'm going. Mm-hmm. So the host made a suggestion and said, you know, I know you're calling about him, but have you considered getting help for yourself? Because there's a lot of times that we have what's called secondary PTSD, which is having your own traumatic experience based on what you go through, caring for somebody that has actually experienced trauma and going through PTSD themselves. Mm-hmm. And that, it rang a bell for me. And I ended up going to get checked out. And that's exactly what it was, is that I was, you know, experiencing PTSD. And then also, as I said, it's not just having been to war or having been through certain experience, you know, certain stressful experiences, and it can happen over time. And so for me, one of the things that came up today, as a matter of fact, that I'm realizing that there were some things that I experienced in the military that I hadn't even been aware of the effect that it had on me. Hmm. So there was, I'm a double minority. I'm a woman and I'm African-American. And so being a Black woman in the field that I was in, I'm in the construction field. Hmm. There's not a lot of us in there at the time I was in. There's not a lot of us that were in. And the amount of things that I went through, you know, certain having to prove myself, disrespect, there's, you know, of course, there's harassment, sexual harassment, all kinds of things that happen that we just don't realize how it affects us. And today, after a conversation I had today, I'm realizing, man, that added to the trauma that I've experienced.
So, yeah. So initially, your diagnosis came from secondary PTSD due to your husband.
Correct. Yes. Yep.
So how does that happen? Because that's interesting to me, thinking about it, how you can develop a diagnosis based off of someone that you're in close proximity to and essentially your trauma from their trauma. So what were some signs that you recognize about yourself when you were listening to that caller on the radio show that made it click?
Mm-hmm. Like I say, our stories were mirrored. They mirrored each other. You know, it was pretty much the same story. With her, she was dealing with, I don't want to say a toxic home environment, but essentially that's what it was, a toxic home environment. I knew that something was wrong with me. I didn't feel the same. I'm usually a happy, cheerful person. And I just was not myself. I had depression, even though I did not have a name for it. I know now, looking back, that's what it was. I was depressed. I didn't feel like going anywhere. I didn't want to be around other people. And I thought at first I was blaming. You know what? I'm sorry. Let me stop this story and let me backtrack. One thing I want to say is that PTSD is not the cause of all the problems in your relationship. So I want to put that out there, because a lot of people say, well, he has PTSD. He's always, you know, angry. He's upset about something and he takes it out on me. So I will say what PTSD does is to highlight the issues that you're having in your relationship. We both came into the relationship with our own set of problems. Mm-hmm. And so PTSD kind of messes with your ability to regulate your emotions and to be able to control your emotions and your thoughts and your words and the way that you say things. So that was where we were, is that I was having problems with dealing with the way that things come off. He's a little bit more aggressive than I am. And that's just personality wise. He's a little bit more aggressive. And so, you know, at that time we were in a place where it was just, it was hard. It was hard to get along. We couldn't get along. We had fights and arguments all the time. And it was just the ugly time. And in myself, I was depressed. I was sad. I didn't want to be around anybody because I didn't know how things were going to be at the house. And then I didn't want to be around anybody else because I just felt alone. I was isolated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also I could tell in my weight, my weight was going up because I was not engaging. I wasn't out. I was stress eating, you know, and it was just a hard time.
So how did your faith impact this? Were you already saved, or did you get saved after the diagnosis? What was that relationship with God like during this initial phase?
So it was a journey. It was a journey. I was born and raised in church, and that was my core. I knew God. But I tell you, it was not until I came to the church that I'm at that I really connected my everyday life and my faith. You know, of course, I knew the Bible. I went to Sunday school all the time. I can tell you all the stories. But I would say I didn't have a relationship. I didn't have a relationship with God in the way that I should have. I knew he was there. I knew he was God, but I didn't know him as Abba Father, you know, Daddy God. I didn't know him as that. And so I started my journey, you know, I started my journey to faith just as something personal that I wanted to do. I just felt a pull that, okay, I need to start going to this church. I had found a new church to go to. I enjoyed the services. I wanted the Holy Ghost. It was my first Pentecostal church. I wanted the Holy Ghost. And I was intrigued, you know, and I just felt a pull. I knew that I wanted that for myself. And so I just began to go. I didn't miss any services. I wanted to be there every time the doors were open. And it actually helped that my husband was on deployment at the time. And so I kind of had the time to go on and do that. It was just me and the kids. So I took them with me and we were there all the time. And that began the relationship, you know, with God and me studying. And then I ended up, like I say, I ended up listening to Christian radio, which I didn't do back in the day. But I was listening to the Christian radio station, and that's when I heard that interview. And so that kind of, it really helped me to say, okay, I need to work on this particular issue in my life. But it was like, once I got everything aligned with God, then everything else lined up with it. So it was a journey. It wasn't just one thing.
That's awesome. God is so, I love just hearing people's stories, because God is so intentional. Yeah. As you were growing in your relationship, he started to get you to highlight, or started to highlight for you certain areas of your life. And then even seeing what you're doing now, it's, God is just so good in how he does things, so strategic. So after you got this diagnosis and you and your husband both realized that it's post-traumatic stress disorder that you're dealing with, and you talked about going to the VA and utilizing those resources, how did you utilize your faith to work through your trauma? Because many of us, like, I love how you said it before, that trauma is something we all experience. It's not exclusive to the military. Like, we have childhood trauma. We have trauma, things that we go through in our life, and utilizing our faith is a big part of that. So what did that look like for you?
Yep. So like I said, I just made my faith the actual core of everything that I did. I did a lot of studying and a lot of reading. I listened to a lot of YouTube until you know, I got grounded myself. But I did just a lot of self work. I first had to get my identity set. I had to find out who I was. Mm-hmm. And I originally started out trying to find out, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do in life? You know, but you can't serve and be broken. You know, I was broken. I had to come and sit and actually get myself together. There was stuff that, you know, I just needed to work on. I'll just say it like that. There was a lot of stuff that I needed to work on. So what I did was I got the information first. I started looking up the scriptures about what it was that I was dealing with. Certain situations, I wanted to know what the Bible had to say about what situation I was in. So if I'm talking about depression, I know I'm depressed. Okay, well, let me see what the Bible has to say about depression. So I would read that. Outside of that, I would also get books from trusted, you know, sources that I trust. Joyce Meyer, I love listening to her. Stephen Furtick, I like his teaching as well too. I just started looking for books that would supplement the things that I got in the Bible. I also educated myself. This is a big thing. I also educated myself on PTSD. And that was a big help because it tells me what I need to fight for, you know, what it is that I need to work on, what is going to trigger me. Things like that. So once I figured out what it was that I was dealing with, I could take that back to the Word and figure out how to work on it from there.
I love that, because it's such a strategic approach, mm-hmm. right? You're not running away from the problem. You're not just praying away the problem. Like, you're looking it dead in the eyes and saying, hey, I see what this mountain is. I understand how this mountain impacts me, but I'm going to use my strategies from the Word, because the Word says if I tell it to move, it got to move. And so you're able to identify what the issue is, but then use the tools that you're learning and that you have through the Word and through your relationship with God. I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
So one thing I love about your podcast is that you're so candid and open about the total impact that trauma has on the entire family. And mm-hmm. so you mentioned, you know, having children, and you and your husband have these diagnoses, or these, what is the right way to say it? You both have a diagnosis. How did that impact your children?
They saw everything.
Yeah.
And looking back, that's kind of scary to think that, you know, they saw everything. And one thing I would say, somebody told me years ago, they said, don't think that just because they're little, they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they bought off the fact that, you know, they have meetings. they're kids, but it's a group of them. So they have meetings about what we're doing, you know. And so that was a big you know, light bulb moment for me. And that was part of the reason why I knew I needed to get it together, because what happens in childhood, a lot of that carries on to adulthood. So the things that you learn and the things that you see, you take that with you. And that goes, that's reflected in your relationships that you have. And I knew I didn't want that. The one thing I'm glad about my children, you know, they're all, I say they're grown. They, I got two boys out of the house, and my daughter, she's getting ready to go to the Air Force. So we got them, got them out. Mm-hmm. But they were little at the time. You know, and I'm glad that taking them to church was kind of like an outlet. So they were able to interact with other people, which is good. So they weren't stuck in the house. They were able to interact with other kids their age. And they were able to get the lessons about life and about you know, just being kids, being Christian children, they mm-hmm. were able to get those lessons on their level where they were able to understand it. One thing about the ministry that I'm with now, my leaders don't sugarcoat anything. You know, they say it appropriately, but right, they don't right. sugarcoat anything. And I think that helps to equip the children when it comes to dealing with certain things. And so I think that the situation that they went through, it kind of matured them faster than they needed to be matured, because they were exposed to things that they should not have been exposed to at a young age. Mm-hmm. But on the other end of that, they have what they learned at church and what they learned through the ministry to kind of say, okay, now I see the difference between what should be and what should not. And they're rooted in God, which I love. They definitely know the impact, life lessons. They've got that. I talk to them and they tell me, oh no, when I get married, we're not doing that.
Right.
This is not happening. You know, and there were times, and I talked about this in a podcast one time, there was one incident which sticks with me. And they were teenagers. This was years ago, but they were teenagers, young teenagers. But there was a time that my husband and I had got into it, and they had to come and stand in between us. They had to mm-hmm. separate. And it was the scariest. It was scary for me because I felt like I had put them in a place of danger. You know what I mean? And I only tell these stories now because we had worked through them. We've been delivered from them. Things are not like they were. So I tell it from a place of victory and from a place of truthfulness. So, you know, because other people have been in this situation, other people are going through it. And it's good to see somebody that has come out of it. Mm-hmm. So never in a place where I would shame, you know, my husband or put any shame on him at all, or myself. Mm-hmm. But the children had to act as the adults in that situation where they had to step in, and they really saved the day. Mm-hmm. They made him go to bed. They made me to go to bed in another place, and that was it. And there was peace in the house because of the children. So what the Bible say? And a child shall lead.
Right. I had another interview, and we were talking about building healthy families and how to cultivate mm-hmm. healthy relationships with your children. And the guest was talking about just how important it is as parents to go back sometimes and just apologize. Like, hey, mm-hmm. you shouldn't yeah. have had to do that. And yeah. I apologize. And just having those real conversations with your children. And that's going to allow you to continue to have a great relationship to where, you know, that trauma isn't something that is driving them, but it's mm-hmm. something they have a lesson from, and you guys are able to talk through it. So I think that, and I love your candidness, because especially as Black people, we always have this, what happens in this house stays in this house mm-hmm. mentality. And that doesn't help anybody.
Right.
Like exactly. The Bible says we're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if nobody's talking about it, then how is that biblical? Right.
You're
it's
right.
Secreted.
You're
right. And mm-hmm. I just love your candidness. Now, you talked about how you use the word to fight against what you were experiencing with your mental mm-hmm. health and everything. How did you use the word to restore your relationship with your husband?
I would start first with the example that I've had with my leaders. I found somebody, and of course, nobody's perfect. Nobody has a 100% perfect relationship. Mm-hmm. But what I found was that I liked the way that they related to each other. I liked the way they tended to each other, because you could see that in church, and I was able to spend time with them outside of the church where mm-hmm. I was able to see that. So first I used that example first of my first lady. And then I said, okay, so once, I would say it really wasn't like a conscious effort to say, okay, I'm going to treat him better. I think what it was, like I said, once I got myself in line with the word is all about relationships. Mm-hmm. Jesus' example was for us to know how things are supposed to be here on earth, how we're supposed to treat each other. I actually had a moment where I stopped and I did a research. I did a kind of like a study on love, what love really means, what it means to walk in love. Mm-hmm. And it was just a homework assignment for myself, just a personal assignment. And that's when I found out, okay, Jesus is our perfect example of love. And so I'm, you know, mark the perfect man. That's what the Bible says, mark the perfect man. So I'm looking at all these examples of the way that the interactions that Jesus had with people. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the definition of love, what it actually means. You know, what the scripture says. I think, is it 2 Corinthians? Don't get me wrong. 1 Corinthians, one of them. But it talks about the definition of love. I know it's chapter 13. I don't know if it's 1 or 2 Corinthians. Forgive me.
Lord. I can't remember. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. But it gives the actual definition of love. And to be honest, love, if you're going by that definition, it's not an easy thing. Yeah. It is a constant choice. It is a constant decision to do what is right by people. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I started. I would say, you know, that would be where I started in just wanting to walk like Jesus.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
Mm-hmm. I asked the Lord to let me start seeing things from His eyes, to start seeing people from His eyes, because I wanted people's experience with me to point to Him, and I wanted people to leave my presence feeling better just because of the way that I treated them or maybe a kind word that I said to them. Mm-hmm. So the improvement in my relationship came because I worked on myself. Mm-hmm. Being a better person. Mm-hmm. And that helped. And And he did the same. You know, that was maturity on his part where, you know, we didn't say, okay, we're about to work on ourselves so we can be better for each other. We didn't say that. It was just like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to be nice to you. I'm not going to get an attitude, you know, when you leave the towel on the floor. Mm-hmm. Well, I should say that him for me. He don't get an attitude when I leave the towel on the floor. You know, I'm not going to, even though, you know, you may be on my nerves right now, I'm going to be careful about the words that I say because I know that my words can change the atmosphere mm-hmm. of this house.
Yeah.
So it really was just about making better decisions of being a better person and the way that I treat people. You know, that's
well, the reason why I wanted to do this series about being uncompromising is because I feel that no matter what someone's journey is, the foundation of being uncompromising is refusing to settle for less than what God has for you. And yeah. that's in whatever area. And what I love about your story is your commitment to continuing to study and mm-hmm. seek the Lord, see what he's saying in his word, and then living it out. And I feel like so many people, it's tedious. It's not mm-hmm. the most exciting thing that, you know, comes with all the voice inflections and the organs and all of that. But it's the foundation of our faith. Like, it's the root of truly being able to see the promises of God and those exciting testimonies that rile things up. Mm-hmm. What brings those about is the dedication and a commitment to his will and his way. And I love how you talked about realizing that you didn't have a relationship and then going to build that out. So you mm-hmm. mentioned making sure that you were in the right place under the right leadership. What are some other things that you did to really learn how to comprehend and understand the text in order to live it out?
All right. So like I said, I did look at other books. So other books of authors that I trusted. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped me with insight on it. Okay. For a long, long, long time, for years, I would say, I did a lot of YouTube. And again, I would look at the subject, whatever it is that I wanted to learn about. And I would type in the search engine, preaching about, and then whatever the topic was. Okay. So I would get other people's, you know, opinions on what it was that the word was saying about that situation. But there was a time that the Lord spoke to me, and I know that sounds crazy to some people, but you know, you do hear his spirit speaking to you. And I remember him telling me that there would be a time where nobody was going to prophesy to me at church, and that I wasn't going to get anything out of these videos and out of the things that I was hearing, because he wanted me to seek him for himself, for myself. He wanted me to seek him for myself. And sure enough, there was a time I was working the altar at church. Everybody in the church getting laid out, right? I'm like, my turn is coming. Let me go help. Come on, sister, get up. You'll fix your wig. But so I got there. And when I tell you, the pastor laid hands on everybody in the church except for me. Mm-hmm. He said, okay. And I said, okay, I hear you, Lord. And then I started watching the videos and I would lose interest. I started getting books and I couldn't complete them. I couldn't read them because I would lose interest. And again, the Spirit spoke to me and said, it's because I want you to search the word. When you're doing that through YouTube, through, you know, other people, you're getting their revelation of me.
Yep.
But you're not getting it for yourself. And so that's when I really started, you know, trying to learn for myself. Okay, what does the word say? Memorizing verses and stuff, you know. And I would hear these verses at church and everything. And I, you know, some stuff you know automatically because they say it at church all the time. But do you know how to apply it to your life? Yeah. And so that's where I was, where I wanted to know, how do I apply this word to my life? Bible study. On, you know, we have our Wednesday Bible night study or midweek Bible study. And that became important for me to attend, not just church on Sunday, but, you know, it says study to show yourself approved. You mm-hmm. have to study. You have to get in the Word. You have to find out, you know, what's in there for you in your situation. So that's my thing. You just have to keep it.
I love that. And how did you balance? I get this question all the time, so I love mm-hmm. the opportunity to ask other people. How did you balance that with your role in your home as a wife, as a mom, working mm-hmm. and all of that? How did you make sure that you prioritize this relationship with God that you're building?
It is not easy. Balance, I don't know. You taught me that. Balance is not the word. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make everything go in harmony.
Yeah.
So I would say that. As far as, you know, worship and things like that, I would find places in my day to worship. I always have music going on. I'm a music person. Totally. I'm a music person. So I always have some sort of music going on so I can work and worship at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there was a time where I had my own business before I started working, you know, in the corporate world. I actually had my own business, and I was catering, and I was doing daily catering jobs. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I would get up in the morning and start my cooking and all that. I would start my day, but I would put on worship music in the background. Mm-hmm. And I'm still listening for God. I just want to be in your presence, but I'm going to do it while I'm cooking this food. I'm going to do it while I'm getting dressed. I'm going to do it while I'm driving, you know, to work. Just staying in the presence. Lunchtime. Sometimes at lunch, I would use, instead of eating, I would use that and just read what I could. I got 30 minutes. Okay, I'm going to read this, mm-hmm. you know. And then all the time on YouTube and all of that. It got to a point like where the kids knew, okay, if we didn't go to church on Wednesday, they were upset because they knew that was a part of our routine. So they got upset. So they kind of kept me accountable with that. I would say the key is just find ways to make it a part of your everyday life. Mm-hmm. The Bible apps that they have, they read the scriptures to you. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, that I tried it. For me, it doesn't work because for me, when I'm reading scripture, I need to see the words so I can really take it in. I can hear it, but it doesn't sink in for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. It works for some people. But that's it. Just finding ways that work for you to keep God in the forefront of your mind. That's my key.
Yeah, I'm the same way with books. Even with audiobooks, I can't even read or listen to audiobooks. My brain just doesn't connect with it. I got to feel the pages. And I can do like an ebook or something on my tablet and read it. But it's something about just having the pages, seeing the text, especially with the Bible. I got to see the commentary. I want to see the reference to where this was maybe prophesied about in the Old Testament. Like, I need to see all of that. And them reading it to me, it just don't always hit the same.
That's it. That's it. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say another thing that I like about seeing the words, having it there in front of me. Sometimes we miss things because maybe we won't see the punctuation in it. And a comma can change the entire meaning, you know, of something. One thing we learned about, there's a scripture that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord, you know, and it goes on. It doesn't say we'll lift up a standard. But what happens is that my pastor pointed out to me, he said, if you listen to it one way, when the enemy comes in like a flood, if you put a comma there, like a flood, the spirit of the Lord. So it tells you, it puts more emphasis on the one part that like a flood is the spirit of the Lord that's going to come through for you and not necessarily the enemy coming in like a flood. Mm-hmm. So it just changed the whole meaning. But yeah, that's
good. That's a really good point. I like that. Can you talk a bit about finding a church home? Because especially with COVID, so many of us, we spent a lot of time online, especially when mm-hmm. the churches were closed. We were watching sermons online. Many of us are part of online churches. I personally think that it's so important to have a community and a space and a building that you mm-hmm. can go into and have leaders that you're accountable to, that are resources mm-hmm. for you. I love that, you know, with our leadership, they were our premarital counselors. Mm-hmm. And if my husband's getting on my nerves and we're not seeing eye to eye, I know I could call and be like, hey, can we talk? Like, can we set up a session and we can sit down with them and have a conversation? Or, hey, God is doing this in my life and I'm struggling with it and I'm studying, but I'm missing something. Can we talk about it? Just having those people in that community to be able to go to, I think, is so important. And yes, that can happen outside of a church. So when I'm saying church, I'm talking about a faith-based community in a place that you can worship with other individuals. Can you talk a bit about that? Because we have these online mega churches and all mm-hmm. of that. But a lot of these places, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance and the Holy Spirit ain't nowhere up in there.
Yeah. So,
can you talk a bit about finding a church home and how to identify to know, like, okay, this is the place for me, yeah. my family.
Yes, yes, definitely. So I found my church. This is so crazy. I found my church. Basically, I went there because there were some people that I knew that were there. And I was like, I just want to go in and say hi to them. I just wanted to make an appearance and say hi to people that I hadn't seen in a long time. We had actually, it was a Super Bowl party. We had a Super Bowl party. You know, my husband and I, we had a Super Bowl party and we were kind of new to the area. And in the military is a small community. As everybody knows somebody else. But anyway, some people had came in and they were like, oh yeah, we were at church. So we were at church. And I'm like, what church are you going to on Super Bowl Sunday? Like, what does that? And so they told me where they were going. And that's when I realized, oh, there's some people there that I know. So I'm going to go and stop by and make an appearance. I'm going to say, hey, y'all. And, you know, show my face. And I went there that Sunday. And I was a lukewarm Christian. I will say that. I went there that Sunday and I enjoyed the service. And I, at the end of the service, the pastor came up to me and he said, can I pray for you? And I said, okay. So he prayed for me. And one thing that he spoke, he called out the spirit of depression on me. And I had no idea. And like I was saying at the beginning, I knew that something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. He mm-hmm. called out exactly what it was. And I said, okay. Now that I know, I like this. I like the place. And another thing, the first lady, one thing I noticed about her is it's like a power. I've never seen a woman walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It was new for me. I hadn't seen that before. And I was like, oh my God, I want that. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was all she was a worship leader. She still is. She's the worship leader. But it was just the fact that I've never seen anybody moving in it. I didn't know about the Holy Ghost. I knew about the Holy Ghost, but I hadn't experienced the Holy Ghost. And it was like, they were so cool to the fact that I was like, man, I want what they have over here. So that was my introduction to it. I was a member at another church. And at the other church, I never went to church on Wednesday at all. I went to the other church, and I'm gonna make this short, I'm sorry. I went to the other church mm-hmm. and it was a Wednesday night. My kids, they were still little. We went to the church. Somebody asked me to do something in the kitchen. I just remember I was like really bored. I was really bored. Somebody asked me to go do something in the kitchen for them, you know, at the church. And I said, okay. So I went into the kitchen and I was like, y'all know what? We about to go over to the other church. So I told the kids, I said, y'all come on. We going. So we running out the parking lot. We ran out the door, running in the parking lot. And we ended up going to the other church. Now, that's terrible. I apologize to the people at the other church. I'm sorry, whatever it was y'all needed done in the kitchen did not get done. But I was following the Holy Ghost to my new place. of worship. So that's when I became an actual member there at the church. Now your question was, you wanted me to talk about just the importance of having faith, having
or just how right someone church. Knows that this is the place for me once they go into a place of worship.
Right. Once I started going there, I actually really started feeling a pull. I just felt a pull where I needed to be there. And that actually happened a little bit before, you know, I went there. I felt a pull that I needed to be in church. And when I realized that that was the church for me, I started going, and I just kept going regularly, and I kept going. And it's revealed to you as you go. That was the important thing. I had to keep going. Mm-hmm. I also served. And I'm on the praise team now with the church, but I started out with the praise team because I've always sang in the choir. I've always been on a praise team. So I came in and I was ready to serve, and they put me on the praise team right away. But I would say that is the biggest thing for me, is that being on that praise team, it kept me accountable because I had to be there at church. I had to serve. And so because of that, that helped to build my faith to know, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm being fed here. I'm learning so much. that's the big thing. Are you learning? Can you grow? And that's where it was. And my pastor talks about superheroes. If you can take the word and take superheroes and make it apply, this is the place for me. If you can take Iron Man and the Hulk and Batman and them and make it make sense, and I understand what you're saying in the word, it's the perfect place. So I just knew I was at home.
That is funny. So we talked a lot about the applying the word, growing in faith, and, and just trauma and how God has just allowed you to use the word to navigate through. Talk to us about how you're now taking everything you're learning and applying and talking about it on your podcast.
Oh, yes, yes. About two years ago, I started my journey to being a coach, a life coach. I started out wanting to do something else, and eventually the path led me to talking about PTSD as a spouse and helping your spouse through that PTSD. And I know that was led by the Lord. That was nothing but God telling me, you know, this is the direction that you need to go in. I think it was no one particular moment where I said I knew that this would be it for me. I just kept going. You know, I just kept walking in it. I knew he wanted me to do something. I had to take a period where I sat down and actually did nothing but learn, but glean, study, and just finding out about it. It is important for me to help women with this. And I say women, there's men that deal with PTSD with their wife as well. But it was important to me because I knew the effect that my faith had on my journey in dealing with PTSD in myself and dealing with him as, you know, my spouse that had PTSD. Again, the Bible is all about relationship. This world, this life that we live in, is all about relationships and how we connect with each other, how we treat each other. And so my faith happens to be in the center, you know, of that, and me learning how to treat people, how I'm supposed to treat him. And so that's pretty much, you know, what it boils down to. You have to put that faith in the center. And what was your question? I'm sorry.
What are some things that you discuss on the podcast, and what do you want people to walk away from after listening, or walk away with after listening?
Yeah, I try to be transparent. I try to be open. And I want to talk about everything that relates to yourself, because really it's all about getting yourself right. Yeah. And then you can deal with everything else. That's the biggest thing I wanted to talk about. And I want them to walk away knowing that, you know, you're in a storm right now, but the storm eventually clears away and the sun does come back out. You know, you have to have an anchor. And I want them to know the Lord as that anchor. I want them to know the value in the word. because of everything. You can find yourself in the Word. That's the biggest lesson I've learned. You can find yourself, no matter what situation you're in, you can find that situation, somebody that went through it, in the Word. And the Word can tell you how you can bring yourself out, how you can rely on God to bring to help to bring you out, you know. And the Word gives strategy. You can find all kind of strategy in the Word. But that's the biggest thing I want people to come away is that away with is that there is number one, that they are not alone, that there's somebody else that is going through it. They say in a storm, you either got somebody that's entering into it, somebody that's walking through it, or somebody that has come out of it. So you're never alone, because somebody's always, you know, there's somebody there that you're going to be able to relate to. And I want them to know the rock that keeps you steady. And then besides that, I would say, you know, I want them to be educated on the things that can happen. That's why I want to be open and transparent. I want you to be educated on the things that can happen in your relationship, how that can affect you, you know, the effect that it can have on you in your personal being and in your relationship.
Yeah. And I love, you know, we've talked about trauma generally here on your podcast. You just go into so much depth for military families in particular, being a military spouse, having military kids, teaching them about God, teaching them about PTSD, learning about these things and successfully navigating that as a family. So I love that your show is also a resource specifically for military families to be able to grow. And you also have a book that is a good resource. So talk to us about the PTSD Wives Handbook.
Yeah, I just so happen to have it right here. But yes, it's the PTSD Wives Handbook, and it's called Her Guide to Inner Peace, Self-Love, and Personal Strength. And that's exactly what it is that we're looking for. That's what it boils down to. I would say, don't pray and ask God to change your spouse. Ask God to change you for your situation. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is that I have found on this journey. Is that I had to change myself. And in order to get, you know, peace and calm in the storm, I had to look for it within myself, within the Lord, within the Word. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this book, again, because I wanted to know that, I wanted women to know that somebody understands, somebody has been through it. And I go into detail about trauma, and the effects that trauma can have on a person, and especially as a wife, how you can experience trauma just dealing with trying to help your husband or trying to help your spouse. And that's what the whole book is about. And it's pointing you, of course, all roads lead to God, so it's pointing you back to God. And it's giving you some tips on things that you can do, some natural things that you can do besides just praying about it. You know, it tells you some things to have ready. You can prepare yourself. You can take the load off of yourself, take the stress off. So that's all in this book.
Yes. And those of you guys who are listening, if you want to learn more about the podcast, it's called Marriage, Motherhood, and PTSD. We'll put the link in the show notes. And you also can download a free sample of the book, the PTSD Wives Handbook. And we'll make sure that the link to that is in the show notes as well. Leah, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you. And I'm so excited for the women who are going to be blessed by this conversation and everything that you're doing on your show and through your services and all of those things. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. And I'll talk to you next week.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.